You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Mike Quebec Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Did I just hear Don on VHF?
Did I just hear Fred with a packet tail Roger beat on his signal?
Oh, this is no... I'm on the wrong mode. I was like, this ain't no packet beat. That's MDC 1200, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm up near Linden, and I was on CAN. I guess I had this frequency in memory, and it ID'd into the network, and I thought, oh, I'll put my call out.
Well, if you're in Linden, 678 is Fenton, that'd be your better signal spot. But you're working it from Linden here to Flint.
678. Okay, I knew there was a Fenton. I just thought it was on UHF. So, okay. Is there a Fenton UHF? Because I was about, I attempted to Kerchump a couple of things in the, that were in memory that were kind of in the low 442s, and I didn't, nothing came up.
Yeah, you're going between Bancroft Receiver and Flint Main right now. Those are the two you're hitting. If your memories are old, it, you dial into it. No. I dial into the hub. Shucks. 142, probably 350 would have been one if it was in your set memory, but it's in Holly. There's 443-200 on Denton Hill. That's my brother's, but that is standalone. The DMR is in Fenton, but that's DMR. And then 14678 is in Fenton, too. That's what is, you'll hear me right now, because it's that tied into the network here.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, I think I had 44235, so that's Holly. Maybe I'll try that one. All right, yeah, no, just on the way back from a property visit and heading back into town. There's a Starbucks here, but I already got my Starbucks earlier, so I don't need more. Every time I come in this direction, which I've been here a few times in the last couple of weeks, it takes me a different route. Oh, well. The less dirt roads, the better. So I don't care if I go a little out of my way.
Well, there you go. I'm like, I just heard Don, but he came out of my left side of my right, not my normal right by my right middle part. I'm like, that's not right. And I'm like, oh, look, he's on VHF.
Yeah, slumming down here on VHF. I'm going in the opposite direction, so I'll probably switch to a different repeater. Find something in this direction. What would be, so I'm heading like back toward White Lake and obviously toward Pontiac. What's going to fill in the gap there if there is one?
Probably 678 to get to the other side of the hill there.
Alright, I'll give that a try. I think that's the memory. T8BP.
Yeah, 14678
with a 151.4 PL.
There it is.
Breaker, breaker. Hey, this one's like full scale.
Well, yeah, you're probably driving towards it.
Well, funny how that happens. I'm going down in a hole now, so this is part of US 23 that I think I just left out of Fenton, heading south.
Yeah, when you get to basically between Owen and White Lake, the repeater is due east of you from when you're at, well, between Owen Road and White Lake there.
Oh, okay. In the hood. Yeah, so we need to get a group of CMN people and or FBI people and or I should have said FBI people first, but then CMN people, whatever, on the air for Michigan QSO party. I felt like a dodo not getting on last year and not trying to coordinate anything, and so I made sure that in an annual event that I do that month, I moved it to the following weekend to keep MQP Saturday open. So, get on the air and have everybody submit their scores for a club, same club, and see how we do.
Well, I'm planning on it as well. I should look at the camera, that's what I wanted to do, to see how much snow is still left. To see if my brother can get out there to fix my G5, because I want to light up in it like I done the last couple of years here.
Yeah, I think there's, in the past, I mean, some years ago, when I was a little more active in it, there were a number of mobile stations that route. You know, there were two or three or four more mobile stations going from county to county, and that's really fun, because they're a new station every time they get to a new county. And I did that a number of times. And I don't know what the activity is for that right now. I don't know if it's planned or if it hasn't been announced yet. But otherwise, everybody can still consolidate their scores into a club score and a plaque for the winning club. So it's kind of fun.
So there is a site where you register, you know, your intent to plans, you know. And usually I'll get it. Every time somebody does, I get an email. There's an email list that goes to. I haven't seen anybody, any mobiles post any plans yet on the email list. It might be a little early for that. Although we're only 17 days away, but it's probably within this week or next week we will see, you know, more people. But it was, they'll start posting to the plans list for 2026. Because I want to say last year, what was it, categories? I don't know if there were only three or, there wasn't very many mobile that submitted scores the last couple of years. I haven't done mobile in probably 10 years. Yeah, last year there was only one mobile multi, and there was a handful of rovers, but one mobile multi, and then, where's the single, how many single mobiles did we have? I don't think we even had a single, yeah, there wasn't a single mobile, it was just one multi-mobile that submitted a log last year, and then, six rovers.
Okay, so the rovers can keep things interesting too, because obviously they're going county to county in a slightly different setup. Alright, well, let's see what we think of. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Murph and I did it a couple of times, and we managed to win it once. And did it a few other times prior to that. I think at one point I had figured out that I had outrighted from all 83 counties. I take that back. I think I was short on one, because I did a couple of routes a couple of different times, the similar routes a couple of different times. I don't think I got the southwest part of the state across the bottom of, and across the bottom of Michigan. I don't think I did that. Oh well, not this year, there's no time to plan that. Takes an extra level of ambition. But I'll get on for something. KW8MJ wants me to come out and do multi-op with them, and I'm 50-50 on that. I'd like to do it, but I also, if something happens and I have to pull myself away from the radio for a few hours to work, far less guilty about it if it's my own score rather than a group. Yeah, I didn't submit last year. I had, was it work? Something came up for me last year, and I wasn't, so I didn't submit for MIQP. But what was going on? I forgot what happened last year, but I did not do it last year.
Shame.
Yeah, it's easy. 80 to 10 meters, phone and CW, you know, talk to the guys looking for you. So.
Yeah, so 2024 I was 9th in single op low power overall. 9th overall, but I was number one in Emmett County. I was the only one that year that submitted for Emmett County. The year prior, there was three of us. So 2023, there was three of us submitting for Emmett County, and I still won then. But yeah, last year was, or 2024, my last year I did it. I took 9th overall for single op low power. I think I don't have a plaque. My highest, when I did mobile one year, I did, was I second? I gotta look. I think my highest score ever was 2nd.
W8CMN. Repeat.
Yeah, that's good. Some of the categories do get pretty competitive. Second place was nothing but me. I had a couple of personal bets when we were doing them, and then it was also second place. Wow, it's the best score I've ever submitted in. I did not win. Oh well. getting off at 59, so we'll see how the repeater holds up here. I just switched the radio to high power. Not real high.
Yeah, because the hills, you know, you're fighting that hill there now. So, 1 year WCMN was a club call that we used, and we took, I gotta look. So WCMN has submitted the MIQP log. We did a multi 1 year. Oh, where was it? I saved all these files somewhere. Damn it, Don, you make me look now. Where did I stick it? Contest folder. Here we go. MIQP 2018. I was 13th in Michigan, number one in Genesee County. So that was 2018. But that was my call. 2nd in Genesee. I don't know what to take word about that one. 2022. 2023. I was 5th in Michigan for 2023. Sorry, I wasn't 9th. 2023, I was 5th in Michigan and number 1 in Emmett. That was the year that I had 3 other Emmetts that were competing. So yeah, 5th in Michigan overall. That felt pretty good for 2023. 2024 is where I got 9th in Michigan.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Yeah, those are the 5th. We'll see what activity is. It's usually something that seems quiet, and then all of a sudden, a week before the contest, everybody's like, oh yeah, we're on, we're going to be on, and it all comes together. So hopefully that's the case again, it all comes together.
Now I got to look what year we did, that Seaman did it. I have to look, because we did it under the Seaman, and then sometimes we did a couple under, I know we did a couple of EOCs when we were at the Weather Service for MIQP. As well, but we did those under KDTX.
Yeah, I don't, I know the EOC category they added, because they added it a while back now. I keep thinking it's recent, but it's recent minus the 10 years that I was off the air. So, not all that recent, but that's, you know, that's a category that could be competitive too. And the idea is, and I didn't read the rules, you know, like, as far as what the EOC requirements are, but, you know, maybe it's a, you can do an ad hoc setup at, you know, at an EOC facility, or maybe you can even do some sort of an ad hoc setup, you know, deployed in the field in the name of the EOC or something, and be in that category, I guess, I don't know. But that would be an interesting one to compete into.
So it states the law, rules are any established EOC site, you know, a declared EOC site. Oh, I found my second place, 2011, number 2 in Michigan for mobile solo. So I knew I had a second. There was like, I got close to first. I never got first, though. So, but yeah, number 2 Michigan mobile solo, 5th. For 2013, Michigan Mobile. So I used to do a mobile. I remember that. I just haven't, you know. Where is the Seaman one? I can't find my Seaman certificate. I know we did it one of these. I wonder if it's 2011. Let me look up the scores in 2011. I could have swore Seaman did this. We did this in 2011.
That's a while back. But that would have been around the time that, when did Steve and I do it? We did it like in 2006 and 2008. Or 2007 and 2008, something like that. I don't remember. And we were like, I think we were second place 1 year, and then we got it the year after. We won it the year after that. Much to Kate, I'm on chagrin, but that's okay. You just showed me you win. That felt good. That felt good. One of those five. Oh my gosh. I actually won. W8FSM, K-A-P-E-P.
K-E-P-W-F-S-M. Now I'm looking, because services. Now, you put my brain down in a freaking... I have to now look. I must now look. ATX. We will need to come up with what the club name entry we want to do is so that we all make sure we submit the exact same, you know, formatting. Because it looks like Bay Area DXers are the ones that have been kind of leading the club. The club charge. Was it 2012? WCMN entered? No. 2013? Yep, it was 2013. And Seaman, we did multi-op, multi-TX. 1, 2, 3, 4. We took 5th that year. But I don't... The CUSO count, it was more of a social type of an experiment. For when they set it up, WC5B did it. We did it at his house, and we did it under the Seaman call, but they only had 228 CUSOs. I've had double and triple that, so yeah, it was like we were more socially doing it than like probably hammering in the contesting spirit.
Yeah, that's okay. You do that sometimes. The Bay Area DXers, there's a lot of those guys that are in the Mad River Radio Club, and the Mad River Radio Club has been sponsored, you know, that club is exempt from winning, so a lot of those guys will enter their score for the Bay Area DXers. So they're a little more... I smell something burning. I'm going to sign here and make sure it's not my radio heating up, or maybe it's the clutch of the car. I gotta figure that out. I will sign off here for a minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh no, radio. It's sitting on the transmission right behind me. And I can just reach back and it's hot, but it's not something that's burning. Clutch a couple of cars in front of me, I think, is what I'm telling. Yuck.
Ew. So, if they are 2025 winner, it would have been, where is it? Michigan Club, although it says they won, Bay Area DXers, they said they won for the plaque. So I thought they were with, unable to,
You know, the Mad River Radio Club is exempt. So that club is unable, as the sponsors of the tent says, that club is unable to win the plaque. So a lot of the Mad River guys will submit for their other clubs. You know, I would submit for Flying Beers. I did that a few times, you know, just if I put in for Flying Beers, KRC. As a matter of fact, the Flying Beers has sponsored a plaque in that contest for a number of years. I don't recall where that is right now, but it's always been kind of ad hoc anyway, as it should be. But, so the Bay Area DXers, they are eligible, and a lot of the Mad River guys will submit under that club. So that explains why they win.
Gotcha, yeah,
because
they had 7 entries. 445,000 was their score last year. Holy hell. But, you know, I think, so 2023 score was 53,000. You get a couple of us hardcore, you get 4 or 5 of us hardcore going guys doing 50,000, 60,000. I mean, it's possible we could place pretty good up there.
Yeah, I have quickly reached the end of the repeater rope, so I'm going to switch over to find another repeater. I'm in Highland Township, so I'm probably not close enough to Warren. But I'll find another one here. KHDB.
Okay, yeah, you need mobile flutter on your input, but yeah. All right. W.
It just came back, so I don't know, maybe it was in a bad zone. It sounded a little bit like Etrine, so I wonder if it was like a birdie nearby or bad RF or something. It looks like it's okay again.
Yeah, welcome to VHF.
Well, a UHF is Bill's repeater on 442.5. There's some birdies on that frequency as well. I got a drone spot on that one driving around town, especially if I'm near the hospital. I drive by the Pontiac Hospital, I can sometimes not hear his repeater because there's some birdie that's behind the his repeater for half a mile.
Oh, gotcha. Records. What's the record? Let's see here. The current record for EOC was by W8OAK for with 2013. 409,000 was their score. Just one station. That's nuts. Multi-op, single-op, low-power, NEM had the highest score of 202,000 one year in 2010.
Yeah, there's some pretty strong competitors that have been on. I think you'd have to, anyone try to break a record, they'd have to really, they'd have to put in a heck of an effort and have good conditions and have good participation. It's kind of a, all three things would have to come together.
Yeah, because I remember my when I took fifth overall, I was like, I felt wasted after that one, that was for sure.
Yeah, 12 hours straight butt in chair, a couple of bathroom breaks and have snacks with you. That can take a toll. When we did the mobile one, we would switch every two or three counties, you know, so one person would drive and the other person would operate, and then after a couple of counties, you'd switch. And that was a good system because it kind of kept you fresh and it kept you alert and, you weren't just sitting there grinding the whole time.
No, and I did mine Sobo, and I had a route map, and I ended on the other side of the state that, when it cleared. I did it in my Aztec. I had my 756 Pro 2, or Pro 3, on the front seat of the Aztec. I had the MDT mounted and everything. That was when I had my Aztec set up. And then had the screwdriver mount off the back of the Aztec.
CATV. Yeah, when we did it, we did it in my Jeep for several times. I did it several times, Michigan and Ohio. And I had two ball mounts on the roof, so I had two hamsticks. And I think one year we added a third. I put a magnet mount, so it was a quad, four magnet mount things in the middle, so we had three antennas. And just an antenna switch inside, so you could go from, I think it was 15 meters, 20 meters, and 40 meters during the day, and then at sunset we swapped out the 15 meter and put 80 meters in. And I did the same thing on Steve's van. He had this giant full-size Ford van. It was like driving your living room around. It was like kind of something at home, only on wheels. So we strapped an ICOM 765 to a little plastic table and three hamsticks on the roof. And had a pretty good ground plane with that antenna. That was fun. That was a good time. That was the year what we won, I think.
Yeah, when I was mobile, it was when I was doing the, I was only a sideband operator. I didn't start doing CW here until last, I don't know, 5, 6 years, or whatever it's been. But I was, when I was mobile, I mean, I was just sideband, which I know, if I would have been CW, I probably would have been a lot right first, but it was, back then I was just a sideband operator. A lonely sideband operator.
Well, we'll try real hard to hold that against you. It's interesting because the QP, and I think OQP category, no separate CW only category. So, you know, if you're a single mode operator, you're kind of competing against your multiplier by mode. So you can get MS County on CW, and then of course you can get MS County again on sidecam.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yes. Okay, you've got an APRS signal shooting out as a courtesy calling on your rig.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You're not hearing it, but everybody else is.
Oh, I know exactly what it is. It's not APRS. MDC 1200.
What does that do? What is that for?
Let's see, mute ID and radio ID.
The tones do sound a little different. I haven't played any packet in 25 years, I guess.
No, it's paging and alerting and ID, so that's what it is. But that's what that is, the MDC 1200.
Does that do anything in conjunction with this repeater system?
As a matter of fact, yes. It shows up in the scroll that I unkeyed.
No kidding. All right, learned something new. I wasn't going to beat it up too bad until I figured out what it was, and that's cool that it comes out on the link where you can do it online then.
No, it's it's pretty much comes out of my radio and then logged into the repeater itself. So if I open up the repeater log to scroll, I'll see it in the scroll there.
Right. Can you log into the repeater log online?
No, you cannot. This data is not in the publicly available log.
But then somehow logs on the controller.
Correct. It's logged on the controller.
That's pretty slick. So, is that controller... What type of controller does this Think system use that it'll do that?
It's Linux-based, called App Repeat, based on Asterisk. It's a module inside of Asterisk.
Well, that's cool. That's good. That'd make it easier to ID. I mean, that's time data and everything.
Yeah, if your radio had the decoding, MDC decoder, you would actually see the radio ID, and it would mute the burst of data, so you would not hear the burst of data, but you would see it on your display.
So since the tones are passing through the controller onto the transmit, then if you've got that option as a decode, and not just the end code, the end user or anybody on the link would get to see the ID of the person using the code.
Exactly. And if you, there's features for call alert, group alert, and such. So, like, if we set a macro off for a weather or anything like that, the page tone, besides the two-tone page, and then there's a DKMF, and then MDC paging burst. If your radio is set up to receive MDC 1200 and you're in that group, your radio will set the alert tones off for that as well. So it's just one of the ways of paging as well. So it does radio unit IDs, call alerts, and group paging alert is all the MDC 1200 protocol.
Wow, that's slick. Well, thanks for the lesson. I learn something new just about every day, and this is a brand new one by me. I'll let you get back to seeing if your friend maybe switched up different repeaters on the link and is able to get back on. I didn't mean to bust into the conversation there, but I was really wanting to know what the data was. And like I said, it's been 20, 25 years since I've really seriously played packet. Actually, I've done a lot of packets for APRS. And then the KPC3 that I had kind of got a little outdated. Hey, thanks again. 73, this is KB8OOE.
Yep. Don, if you're still hearing me and you don't go over UHF, you might try 7200. I'm not sure how far north 7200 covers, but you might be able to try the MAC 7200. There you go.
Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Up to eight people inside. It has a TV and sound system, and we know they plan.
Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
CDR. Yes, sir. Configure ARS pursuit mode for EPROC 10.1.1. Crew ingress and vehicle pre-launch config, step 1.
10.1.1, crew ingress and vehicle pre-launch config, step 1. Knowing your work now.
And so see, now we are privy to some of the countdown procedures that the team is asking for the crew to do.
Yeah, so they're going to work through some of these procedures and finish the ingress portion, as you heard in that procedure.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And again, we're waiting for...
And CDR, NTD.
Go ahead, NTD.
Yeah, Reed, we're ready to proceed with the voice checks if you and everyone else is.
NTD, Integrity Crew is ready for voice checks.
I copy that. And Integrity, for the entire crew, comm check on Orion to Earth 1.
CDR. PLD.
MMS-1.
MMS-2.
Good comm check by all. NTD moving to Orion to Earth 2.
CDR. PLD.
MMS-1.
MMS-2.
Okay, that's enough plan.
Your Integrity Houston on Orion to Earth 1. Voice check for the entire crew.
CDR. PLD.
MS-1.
MS-2.
Houston has all four crew loud and clear on OE-1. Stand by for 2.
Initial word was broken.
MS-1.
MS-2.
Crew loud and clear on OE-2. We'll use one for the default. Houston out. Okay.
CDR.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and we're going to clear a couple of those messages on your screen here. Just want to give you a heads up that you'll see that.
Copy all.
CDR, OTC, Orion, Earth 1.
CDR.
Yes, sir. Perform crew suit leak checks per 10.1.1. Crew ingress and vehicle pre-launch config steps 2 through 4. Enunciation of LCC O-ARS-001 will occur.
10.1.1. Crew ingress and vehicle pre-launch config steps 2 through 4. Going in work now.
This is Mission Control Houston. We are following along as the four members of Artemis II work through their voice checks and the umbilical connections and various pathways
and
to get communication from all of the...
Refresh on your screen.
CDR.
So we're going to look to do a quick refresh on your screen if you guys are okay with that.
Okay, firm, just let us know when we can continue in 10.1.1. We'll go hands off.
10.1.1, referring to the procedures that they have, the various phases of ingress and some of the checkouts needed to prepare for today's launch. Here in Mission Control Houston, the IVA, or Intravehicular Activity Officer, will be confirming the leak check status and watching as the suits pressurize to once again confirm that the suits are in a good configuration ahead of launch. Of course, for the teams here in Houston, launch is just the beginning. The first flight day is jam-packed with activities. Shortly after main engine cutoff, Integrity will enter into a coast phase while still attached to the interim cryogenic propulsion stage, or ICPS, and prepare to deploy the solar arrays. The power being generated...
Go ahead, Andy.
That, refresh, and you got to go to proceed with your 10.1.1.
Picking up 10.1.1, step 2.3 through 4.
Picking up the procedures, the crew again working through the various steps to prepare for launch, standing by for speed. This is Mission Control Houston. With visors closed, the pressurization test can commence. stand by to for word of a good leak check on all four of the crew member suits for the Artemis II mission. Again, this is the very beginning of a very busy flight day for our four crew members. After launch, they have a series of burns to prepare for, the first major burn being the perigee raise maneuver that allows them to continue in low Earth orbit, and the next being the apogee raise burn that puts them in a high Earth orbit. This is an orbit that takes them around the Earth for nearly a day, 23 and a half hours to be precise, and allows the teams, including the astronauts and the flight control teams, to check out critical systems ahead of committing to the next day's translunar injection. And the crew will command the Orion capsule to separate from the ICPS, turn around and approach the upper stage, but not dock. Orion's in-space maneuvering capabilities and provide further confidence in docking to another lunar space vehicle like the Human Landing System that will be part of the Artemis III mission ahead of future moon landings.
W8FSM, W8FU.
Okay, there you heard the suit leak check complete. They check those suits for leaks. The astronaut crew quarters, they check them again inside the spacecraft. As you can see, the closeout crew, our astronaut support person moving around, turned off the camera, and so now we're looking from outside the Orion spacecraft looking towards, get oriented here. Well, there we go. Back inside, we've got the view. But basically what I was saying about Christina Cook.
Yeah, Sean.
Hey, audio is really stellar. What are you using?
Oh, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Oh, I see how you are. All right.
We're going to do another cleanup on those suit leak check messages that we got from, since we're done with that now.
Integrity copies.
Thank you.
That's communication going between Orion Commander Reed Wiseman and NASA Test Director Jeff Spaulding. As I was saying, Christina Cook will be reading measurements from the counterbalance assist arm. So you're going to hear her asked by the NASA Test Director to read that. That CBA, counterbalance assist arm, it's mechanically latched by the closeout crew using tools, but there's a hydraulic assist. It's pneumatically opened and closed, rather, where the pressure assist, it helps open it up, not only that hatch, but also the last hatch. There's two hatches there that we'll see that will be closed, but this is in case of an emergency out there at the pad. If the crew, for some reason, needed to exit quickly, then they would exit the spacecraft by pulling that lever, which would open both hatches. Those hatches are heavy. The Orion hatch is hundreds of pounds.
ATC cameras 1 and 2 both set to record.
ATC copies.
Just an update on the launch countdown, continuing to monitor the team's communications here in Firing Room 1. Everything going really smoothly so far. We don't have any significant open constraints to launch at this time, so we continue counting down. And for now, we'll send it back to the host desk with Megan and Nicole.
Thank you so much, Daryl. And so we heard...
WFSM.
WNFU. Yeah, go ahead.
You got CMN1 cooking?
No, because I'm upstairs. Hold on. I got my cell phone. If you can get, give me a text.
No, it's not that important. I'll talk to you somewhere along the line.
All right. I'm sending an email to my contact at JPL because I don't see it in the clean feed yet.
That'll be it up you.
There it is.
Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Connected to CMN Network.
OTC copies, thank you.
And then after.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. You're connected to CMN Network.
Final 10 minutes.
And OTC, NTDN 212 for ComSec.
Good. Come. Tell me.
I hear you the same. STC?
Yep.
ETC?
ETC is on 212.
All right. Copy that.
NASA Test Director Jeff Spaulding confirming communications with his team. There will be two polls that we'll hear. One from Spaulding, the NASA test director, confirming the ground systems and the launch team are ready to proceed. At this point, we have a clear board, no constraints. We need confirmation from each individual on the NASA test director team. So we'll hear him poll his team. The other poll that we're waiting for is the poll from Launch Director Charlie Blackwell Thompson. We'll take that final status from NASA management before giving the go to come out of a hold. And you're seeing the clock count down at L-minus 12 minutes.
CCL, OTCR, NRS1.
CCL.
Sir, reconfigure ARS primary loop ISO valves.
Copy, that's in work.
And CDR, OTC, Orion, Earth 1.
So,
ARS loop ISO valves are being closed at this time.
Integrity copies.
GDLP. Well, yes, I had a discussion with CIS and with MER manager regarding the observation the CIS had a few minutes ago. They were able to confirm on BCI photos that the condition that they observed has been there since 2025. MER manager has had a chance to review the findings, and they do not have any constraints from either a CIS or MER manager perspective.
Okay. Copy all. Analyze director NTD, you copy?
Yes, sir. I copy that. That's good news.
OPC, CCL, T12.
OPC.
ARS primary loop isolation valve configuration is complete.
Copy.
Currently connected to CMN network.
And CGLS NTD, cancel pending, please.
CLS copies, and that's complete.
All right, and for all personnel, we got a little bit more work to do before we pick up the clock, and we're about a little over a minute from getting to T-minus 10 minutes, but we've canceled the resume time there, and then we'll pick it up after we get through all of our work and anything else that we need to do to get through the remainder of counts. So we'll continue working that to get to our T-0 today. So when we get to about 50 seconds from now, we'll extend that hold. CVSEO, TC.
DVSC 400-290, looking to verify that we are configured for ascent.
Yep, give me about two more minutes. I'm going to start the CMA2 streamer.
Okay.
NTD, COSE, hold requested.
Copy that.
I have an LCC violation of O-CT-004, S-band transponder anomaly. This was a transient LCC violation, so transponder 1 had a demodulated SNR estimate that went down to 2 dBm. When it should have been between 10 and 13, it is now back up to 12, but we did lose that for just a moment. It does not appear that we lost our bit sync or carrier lock, which would be indicative that we lost our lock with the vehicle. So at this point, recommendation would still be go. However, we do have a pre-planned contingency procedure if we want to look at that. But again, this is transient, so we're back in a nominal range.
All right, let's see. LPE, NTD?
Yeah, we're not seeing that hit. So I guess the question for COSE, was that less than 3 samples? Is that below our persistence?
Stand by. Let me look. It did look like it did persist for several seconds on mine, but let me take a look at the number of samples.
Could I get a repeat on the affected LCC, please?
Yes, ma'am. That's going to be O-CT-004.
Thank you.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Yeah, I've taken a look at the data right here. It looks like that was a single sample.
Yeah, copy that. RFTS does report that they also lost lock for about 5 seconds, so I would love to ask KUS and see if they also lost lock with the vehicle for any extended amount of period.
And COSE, while we're doing that, these are 1/10 hertz measurements, correct? So we would have had to lose it for over 10 seconds to get a second sample?
Yes, sir, that's correct. It is 1/10 hertz.
And so from our perspective, the allowance is effectively up to, 30 seconds, up to 3 samples based on the 1/10 hertz. This is not an LCC violation, I believe.
Yes, sir, I would agree with that at this point. Copy that.
Checked in with KUS on 232. I don't think they have 212 access. We're trying to verify, But it sounds like they have a loss of lock as well. 2 seconds.
Okay. And I guess for both KUS and COSE, do we have lock now?
That's affirmed. We do have lock for COSE.
Yeah, so from the integration console perspective, we did have a temporary loss there within the allowable, and per the requirement, let's go.
This Houston flight, we have lock and we have telemetry here in TSC.
And KUS is reported to they have good lock now. So with all of that, OSC, then are we in a go configuration per your LCC?
Yes, sir. Recommendation would be go.
LP, you concur with that?
Yes, sir. LP concurs go.
And launch director.
Yes, sir. Launch director concurs go.
All right. And I'm going to go ahead and just verify everybody has everything else complete, launch director. And if we do, we'll be ready to pick up the poll at that time, unless there's something else that you're aware of.
Yes, sir. Let's verify all our work is complete, and I would like one last check of our constraints list.
All right. Let's see. OTC, are you still waiting for comconfig, or are you
completed? That is a firm, sir.
Is that the only open item?
Yeah, OTC, this is CAC. That form step 290 is complete.
Copy. Okay, so OTC, you're complete with all your work?
That's a firm.
All right, copy that. STP?
STC is complete.
And GTC?
GTC is complete.
Excellent. All right, and LPE, just want to verify we have no open constraints at this time.
No open constraints. We have a clear board, sir.
Okay, tracking the same here. And launch director, with that, we are clear and ready to pick up the launch readiness poll with your go.
All right. I am go for the poll.
All right. And for all personnel, this is the NTD conducting the Artemis II launch readiness check. Verify ready to resume count and go for launch. OTC.
OTC is go.
STC.
STC is go.
GTC. Please go. MCO.
CO's go.
Safety console.
The safety console is go.
LPE.
LPE's go.
RTD.
RTD's go.
Distant flight.
Distant flight is go.
ROC.
ROC is go.
And CDR.
There is go.
Copy that. Thank you, Reed. And launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
All right, NTD, I copy all. At this time, I'll perform my poll. Attention on the net. This is the launch director performing the final poll for launch. Verify no constraints and go for launch. EGF, EGS, program chief engineer.
Artemis chief engineer, go.
Copy, thank you. EGS, chief safety officer.
Artemis CSOs are go.
Thank you. Range weather.
Launch weather is go.
Thank you, LWO. And Artemis, MMT chair.
MMTs go.
Thank you, John. And Integrity, launch director.
Good evening, with Charlie, DLT.
Thank you, Charlie.
This is Victor.
We are going for our families.
MF1. This is Christina. We are going for our teammates.
MF2. This is Jeremy. We are going for all humanity.
All right, Charlie, your Artemis II crew is go for launch. Full send.
I copy that. Reed, Victor, Christina, and Jeremy, on this historic mission, you take with you the heart of this Artemis team, the daring spirit of the American people and our partners across the globe, and the hopes and dreams of a new generation. Good luck. Godspeed, Artemis II. Let's go. And into the launch director.
Wait, launch director?
Yes, sir. You have a go to proceed with countdown.
Copy that. I'll put it in work. CDR, NTD.
Oh.
Your risers and initiate short purge for your EPROC 10.1.1, steps 8 and 9.
10.1.1, 8 and 9, going to work.
Copy. TVSC, NTD. Start and verify recordings of our Orion cameras.
Copy. Okay. Well, there you heard it.
RSR, NTD.
RSR. We're getting ready to start terminal count.
AR rotation enable at this time, please.
Currently at T-minus 10 minutes. Once we wrap up this last bit of work.
FNA arm rotation enable complete.
We're going to start that clock.
Copy that. Thank you.
Integrity crew, close and lock visors.
You heard an issue. Worked in real time with telemetry lock on the Orion. It was transitory. Very short. We checked the data. Confirmed that they had a good lock. This was with the S-band transmitter on the Orion. worked through that issue, looked at the data, and cleared it, all with the world watching. Impressive work by the launch team. We have a two-hour window, which starts in just a few minutes at 6:24 p.m. Eastern Time and goes until 8:24 p.m. Eastern Time.
And ECL NTD will be waiting for your verification on the short purge. ECL copies. And for all personnel, once we get that short purge verification, we'll verify that we are clear to go, and then we'll proceed with the terminal count. ECL, time estimate?
About a minute.
Copy.
We're going into the launch window. Not by much, it looks like. Just wrapping up some final work. Once that's completed, you'll hear NASA Test Director Jeff Spaulding ask for the ground launch sequencer operator. Go ahead and start the clock. Ground Launch Sequencer is an application software. It runs on top of a launch control system in the firing room. Acts like a conductor of an orchestra, executing hundreds of commands in precise order and timing. All autonomous.
Entity CCL 212, short purge initiation is verified.
All right, copy that, and we're verifying our constraints. All right, and we're clear. And with that, we're going to resume the clock momentarily. And CGLS, you can resume the clock on your mark.
CGLS copies. 3, 2, 1, mark. CGLS mainline has been initiated.
T-minus 10 minutes and counting.
And that begins terminal count. Our new T0 is 6:35 p.m. Eastern Time. 6:35 p.m. Eastern Time. We are now counting down to liftoff of Artemis II. From now on, you're going to hear two voices on the loops. If everything goes nominally, NASA Test Director Jeff Spaulding, who's directly managing the launch team, and Alex Bendelos, the GLS operator who closely monitors the software, he has the ability to stop and restart countdown. A lot of people ask about whether there's a launch button. Certainly
Houston
is not.
Flight and Rock, our new T0 is 22-35-12.
Flight copies.
Rock copies.
22-35-12.
Affirm.
You heard confirmation of the exact T0, 6:35 and 12 seconds p.m. Eastern Time. Again, our T0 is 6:35 and 12 seconds p.m. Eastern Time. But as I was saying, there's no launch button. This is autonomous. There is a button that keeps you from launching. That button allows the GLS operator to pause the countdown outside of terminal count and during terminal count and submit a hold to the next holding point. So the clock won't stop right away. If there's an issue, we'll go to the next stable holding point. This is how GLS configures the rocket and ground systems to a stable point where they can stop the countdown if that's needed. But right now, we are counting down. Our next big milestone, looking to retract the crew access arm.
GLS is go for crew access arm retract.
And there you see the crew access arm moving away. That's the path that the astronauts took to ingress into the rocket. Until this point, that was their way off the pad if they needed to evacuate. Now with that arm retracting, backup transitions to a launch abort system. And they'll begin arming that shortly. Of course, the launch abort system, great shot there of the crew access arm retracting away. The launch abort system is the tower at the top, and that's what would pull Orion and its crew off the top of the rocket in case of an emergency, whether it's on the ground or in flight. This is critical safety hardware that protects the lives of the astronauts. Starting at T-minus 6, GLS will start bringing that and other high-energy systems online, starting with core stage pressurization. Weather is 90% go, range is go, all systems are go.
GLS is go for core stage tank pressurization.
That means the replenish valve for the liquid hydrogen tank has now closed, and that tank is beginning to pressurize to flight levels because that hydrogen is naturally boiling inside the tank. We'll get the liquid oxygen tank a little later in the count. Now the team is waiting for verification that, if needed, the Artemis II crew used the launch abort system to pull Orion safely off the top of the rocket in an emergency. Let's listen in for that call.
GLS verifies last ability available.
And CDR, do you copy?
CDR, last available.
That's great news, and you heard the NTD verify that with the commander of the mission.
GLS is go for FTS arm.
Now work is being done to arm the flight termination system. This is so the range safety can send a flight termination command if the rocket flies too far off track. There's a brief built-in delay so the launch abort system has time to pull the astronaut.
GLS is go for LH2 high flow bleed check.
And the high flow bleed check. So the cryo team, it's verification that the RS-25 engines, all four of them, are in the proper temperature range for launch.
GLS is go for core stage APU start.
Core stage APU start, those are auxiliary power units. High-speed turbines, which provide pressure to hydraulic pumps that steer the RS-25 engines. We're going to see a gimbal test a little later at T-minus 2 minutes and 30 seconds. This is what allows that to happen. Coming up in about 20 seconds, listening for go for purge 4. That's a helium purge of the four core stage engines downstream of the propellant valve. Gets all the air and moisture out of there.
GLS is go for purge sequence 4.
Moving through the milestones. All is looking good. Coming up in just a few seconds, we're going to get that thrust vector control actuator test. This is a gimbaling of the engines. There are four RS-25s, three of them, shuttle heritage, one of them built from shuttle parts. There you see them moving. Now we're going to start moving the power, both the upper stage and the lower stage of the rocket, to internal, taking ground power away and now going to battery power.
GLS is go for upper stage to internal power.
The power is removed from the rocket's upper stage, the ICPS, and it's been switched to the same milestone for the lower core stage coming up at T-minus 1 minute and 30 seconds. Right now, the four-person Artemis II crew is 248,000 miles away from the moon, and if all goes well, they will fly by it in 6 days.
GLS is go for core stage to internal power.
All right, there's the rocket's core stage. Houses three flight computers, is now on its own power. There's no more hold time because there's no more margin on these batteries. We'd have to recycle back to T-minus 10 to recharge if we had a hold.
1 minute.
Right now, the rocket does not know what the T-0 is, but coming up at T-minus 33 seconds, control shifts from the ground launch sequencer to the rocket's onboard autonomous launch sequencer, or ALS. The rocket will count itself down, but honor any holds that could come from the ground. Shortly after liftoff, Houston will take control of the rocket, and my colleague Gary Jordan will take over commentary. ALS, go for ALS. Great call out. The rocket is on its own. Four brave explorers ready to ride the most powerful rocket NASA has ever launched. Sound suppression, water is flowing.
15.
And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7. RS-25 engine. 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition. And liftoff. A crew of Artemis II now bound for the moon. Humanity's next great voyage begins.
Good roll pitch.
Roger, roll pitch.
Houston, now controlling the flight of integrity on the Artemis II mission around the moon.
Integrity, AMG high.
On time passing 37.71. Integrity passes the ultimate eagle. Target milestone. Control Houston, take good performance. Space launch system core stage. Integrity, 3 miles in altitude. Traveling more than 1,200 miles per hour. Last time, passing 1 minute, approaching max view.
On, Ponce 3 on.
Stan, we have you loud and clear on Ponce 3 on.
Have you the same.
Communication signal transfer confirmed as Integrity and its crew go supersonic. Approaching 90 seconds into the Artemis II mission. Integrity is 14 miles in altitude, 8 miles downrange, traveling more than 2,600 miles per hour. At 50 seconds of mission elapsed time, standing by for main engine throttle down to 85%, ahead of solid rocket booster separation expected at the 2-minute, 9-second mark. We see throttle down. Confirmed separation. Main engine throttling up, guidance converged.
Integrity, guidance converged, performance nominal, upper stage RCS ready.
Copy off, Ben.
Integrity, SM priming complete.
Priming complete.
In the last time, starting the and upper stage confirmed in a ready state, ahead of service module fairing separation. Minutes into the flight. Integrity, 49 miles in altitude, 78 miles downrange, now passing 5,000 miles per hour. Standing by for launch abort system jettison.
Houston, Integrity, good last jettison, great view.
Copy jettison, Team Eco 8 plus 02.
You see the same on board, Stan.
And Houston has you loud and clear on Tigris at the common line.
Outstanding, Stan. We have you same.
3 minutes, 50 seconds into the flight of Artemis II, Wiseman, Glover, Cook, and Hansen cross the boundary to space with good comm checks. GPS signals acquired after last jettison, now working on internal checks to verify accuracy. Flight Dynamics Officer analyzed the time of main engine cutoff, confirmed at 8 minutes, 2 seconds, time of MECO.
Integrity, GPS processing.
Outstanding, Stan. We see the same, and we have a beautiful moonrise. We're headed right at it.
Approaching 5 minutes into the flight, Commander Reed Wiseman confirms he has visuals of his destination. GPS guidance, navigation, and control software finishes internal checks and sends to navigation channels.
Your integrity, three engine press.
The engine press.
On time now, passing 5 minutes 20 seconds of mission elapsed time into the Artemis II mission. At this point, three good main engines are all that's needed to carry integrity to a nominal main engine cutoff target. Though at this time, we're seeing four good engines here in Mission Control Houston. Integrity, 75 miles in altitude, 330 miles downrange, approaching 10,000 miles per hour.
Integrity, looking good at 6 minutes.
Stay on board, Stan.
The trajectory and engine performance. Booster officer will report the shutdown plan to Flight Director Judd Friedling, expected at the 7-minute mark. Integrity, 78 miles in altitude, 460 miles downrange.
Air integrity, expect nominal shutdown.
Integrity copies nominal shutdown.
6 minutes, 40 seconds of mission elapsed time. Shutdown plan is as expected. Again, the time of MECO was confirmed at 8 minutes, 2 seconds into the flight. 7 minutes of mission elapsed time. Throttling down as we approach the abort once around option. Milestone at the 7-minute, 30-second mark. Now 84 miles in altitude, 650 miles downrange, traveling more than 15,000 miles per hour.
Integrity, AOA open.
AOA open.
Window is now open for an abort once around option that would target splashdown in the Pacific Ocean. Still following nominal ascent at this time.
Connected to CMN network.
About 10 seconds remaining till the main engine cutoff of the Space Launch System core stage. Standing by for confirmation of MECO and core stage separation.
Integrity and nominal MECO, core stage separated.
You see the same on board, Stan.
8 minutes, 40 seconds into the flight, we have a nominal main engine cutoff heading in the right trajectory on the way to swing around the moon. Core stage has separated, done its job. The Space Launch System upper stage, the inner rim cryogenic propulsion stage, or ICPS, still attached to the Orion spacecraft. Nine minutes of mission elapsed time, integrity crew of Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Cook, and Jeremy Hansen now in orbit around the Earth at the beginning of their journey to the moon.
Integrity Houston, looking ahead to PRM numbers so far per the pad.
Copy that, Stan, numbers per the pad.
Capcom Stan loves roof. Now reminding the crew that the perigee raise maneuver time of ignition is as expected prior to booster ignition. The time being 49 minutes, 50 seconds of mission elapsed time.
Integrity, good. Meds deploy.
Copy that, Stan. Good, Meds.
And Integrity Houston for PWD setup. Just a reminder, halfway open on the secondary.
You copy that, Stan. Halfway open.
Passing 11 minutes of mission elapsed time. Here, overhearing the conversation between Capcom Stan Love and Commander Reed Wiseman, already passing some milestones. We have a good nozzle extension deployment system. That is confirmed, complete. We also have the visors are confirmed up. Now past the dynamic phase of flight, that is ascent. The launch and entry suits that provided them an extra layer of protection. Now not as needed, they're going to raise those visors. And later in today's mission, they will begin to egress or get out of the suits to begin some of their initial tasks of activating some of the systems aboard in the Integrity spacecraft. Passing 12 minutes of mission elapsed time. Again, the perigee raise maneuver that's targeted near 50 minutes of mission elapsed time, 49 minutes, 50 seconds. That's what the crew is going to be working towards. The Commander Reed Wiseman, Pilot Victor Glover will focus on preparing for that milestone. In the meantime, Mission Specialist Christina Cook and Jeremy Hansen will start some of the activation of environmental control life support systems. You may hear confirmation of their activation over the Orion to Earth communication network.
Houston, C3 AUX power back in auto.
Copy, C3 AUX, and we're 2 minutes to maneuver.
13 minutes and 30 seconds of mission elapsed time. We're going to continue to follow the crew of the Artemis II mission. They are beginning their journey around the moon to verify the systems that will take us to its surface. An incredible ascent. Artemis II is underway. Reed Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Cook, and Jeremy Hansen begin their journey to the moon. Still milestones to come up as we await solar array deploy and the critical burns that will get Integrity to high Earth orbit around the Earth before engines are fired to get us around the moon. We'll keep tabs on Integrity and its crew from here in Mission Control Houston. But for now, we're going to send it back to you, Megan and Nicole, at the Kennedy Space Center. Very jealous to hear how the launch experience was over on the Space Coast.
Hey, Gary, for people are just joining us.
Houston, Crosstie is on board per the ETSI-DEM.
We copy Houston. Thank you.
Crosstie referring to flight controllers here initiating a connection between some of the batteries aboard the Orion spacecraft, allowing for an even distribution of power. This is the flight control teams that took us through ascent of the Artemis II mission today. Right now we're, as you see, passing 18 minutes of mission elapsed time. The Orion spacecraft Integrity and the interim cryogenic propulsion system are maneuvering tail to sun. It is in this orientation, this attitude.
Integrity anywhere until not momentary.
And Reed, no action. We're looking at it.
Commander Reed Wiseman verifying what is being routed to his displays aboard Integrity. Propulsion engineer confirming that no action is needed at this time. They're pressing through with their nominal procedures to prepare for the perigee raise maneuver. And, of course, the solar array wing deploy ahead of that. Solar wing deploy is a critical milestone. We'll continue to have our coverage follow the mission until that deployment. Successful launch is just the beginning. The deployment of the solar arrays and successful confirmation that those solar array wings are drawing power is a significant milestone and says to the flight control teams that we will continue on today's mission. Power needs to be drawn to continue through some of the next milestones. Until then, the AOA open option that was called up upon ascent, the aboard once around, is the current option, and the board to orbit option ATO will be switched to a preferred mode at the time that the solar array wings are deployed and latched. Gives the flight control teams a little bit more flexibility.
Integrity Houston, update on Tigris handover for your pad.
Give us just 1 minute. And Span, you can read it like it's ready to copy.
Roger. TJ's handover east to west expected 1 second earlier at 5-1 minutes, 2-6 seconds.
Hi, Span. We copy 1 second earlier for 5-1-2-6 TJ's east to west. And thaws are starting to deploy. Thermal knives are firing.
We concur. Thanks for the report.
Read back of the reports that you just heard on the Orion to Earth network. Integrity has maneuvered tail to sun. The RL-10 nozzle on the end of the ICPS is pointed towards the sun. The solar array deployment sequence has begun. With the deployment confirmed, it'll be several minutes until they are what is called in a latched position. If they are latched and confirmed to be drawing power, they can switch the mode to ATO and continue along the mission. The teacher's handover at the pad, that message meant crew was provided some preliminary numbers of when to expect handovers between tracking and data relay satellites. Currently orbiting Earth at an altitude of 545 statute miles above the Earth in a near-Earth network communication system, the tracking and data relay satellites, geosynchronous satellites that are stationed about 23,000 miles above the Earth. After the Apogee Rays burn that occurs later today, the burn itself will put them in an altitude that surpasses the range of the tracking and data relay satellites, and they will transition to the Deep Space Network today.
And Integrity, for prop messages, we see two temperature measurements right near the line. It's a momentary message you saw earlier. We're going to suppress those. It's CM helium heater 2T1 and heater 1T1. They're going suppressed.
Integrity, thank you. We see the same.
This is Mission Control Houston, passing 23 minutes of mission elapsed time into the Artemis II mission. This is after a launch that began at 5:35 and 12 seconds Central Time, 6:35 and 12 seconds PM Eastern Time. Right now, the orientation you're seeing from our aero visualization that translates some of the telemetry that we're getting from the spacecraft and puts it into a model so you can follow along on some of the milestones that we are following here. The RL-10 nozzle that you see at the left end of your screen, though it is currently not firing, that nozzle is pointed towards the sun, and the solar arrays are currently deploying. In this visualization, they look fully stowed in a position.
Integrity, we are happy to report that Jeremy has the O2 sensors on.
Copy O2 sensors.
Again, Commander Reed Wiseman and Pilot Victor Glover overseeing the deployment of the solar arrays. And we'll follow the attitude maneuver changes ahead of the first burn of the ICPS engine, the perigee raise maneuver.
Integrity Houston, we see four saws deployed and latched, ready for ATO preferred.
And we're almost there in the procedure stand, and we see the same thing.
Integrity Houston, we are seeing a 7-second miscompare between the MET on Orion and ICPS. We'd like you to read us the MET from your center status bar and for the ICPS on StackSum.
And Stan, we see a absolutely precise 25, 14, 15, 16, precisely aligned with ICPS MET.
For that, we'll investigate a ground issue.
And Houston Integrity, ATO preferred set.
Copy, ATO preferred.
This is Mission Control Houston, 25 minutes, 45 seconds into the flight of Artemis II. We have confirmation that all four solar array wings are deployed and latched. This is the configuration needed to switch to ATO preferred, which you did hear confirmed from pilot Victor Glover. That mode has been switched. There's also a discussion with TACOM Stan Love and Commander Reed Wiseman about the alignment of the MET clocks on the Orion spacecraft and the ICPS. Commander Reed Wiseman confirmed the clocks are in sync, no issues, they're going to investigate it on the ground. We're proceeding with today's mission. 26 minutes of mission elapsed time and counting.
You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeating.
AF8FTS. This is a test, AF8FTS. AF8FTS. Calling for signal report.
AF8FTS. NHCAF. I'm reading pretty good, but there's a lot of popcorn and static going on. No idea what's causing it, but I can't understand everything that you're saying.
W8CMN.
Roger that. What was the call sign again?
The call sign is December 8, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot. Back to you.
Roger that, November 8, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot. Now we just got done programming a new radio. Just wondered if it was working. We have a compromised antenna. Just a J-pole tied to a shovel stomped into the ground next to the house. But I wanted to see if this radio was make it through to the repeater.
You are definitely making it into the repeater. Your audio is good and solid. Like I said, the only thing I've got is some popcorn going on. It could be that antenna of yours. It could be the wind blowing through my antenna for all I know. But you are definitely readable. Everything is sounding good at this end.
W8CMN.
Roger that. Thank you. The name here is David. KFA. Finding good signal. We're in Shelby Township, Michigan.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, David. The name over is this kind of Cliff, Charlie Lima, India, Foxtrot, Foxtrot. And, no, I don't have anything fancy to say with my call sign.
Oh, I understand. Very good. Yeah, we may have spoken before at our PSC meeting or something. I remember the name, if not the call sign.
connected to CMN Network.
Well, that's all right. Everything about you sounds familiar, too. I'm fairly sure we actually did speak at the last in-person meeting. But I do need to say 73 to you because I'm out door dashing right now and I just had an order come in. So with that, again, 73 to you. Radio's working just fine. Have yourself a good evening. This is November 8th, Charlie Alpha Foxtrot, clear after your final.
Well, we definitely understand, and I would say God bless DoorDash for those that can't get out. The 73 clip, KF8 FPS, we're going to be clear.
W8CMN, W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
Billions and billions of dollars to send them to the moon again, and the darn toilet don't work.
You're connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford. Currently connected to CMN Network. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.